We continue our studies in the Gospel of Mark, and today we come to that story about Jesus healing a man with leprosy. Let us pray. Father God, we echo the words of the psalmist. May the words of my lips and the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Wellesley Bailey was born in 1846 in the then Queen's County of Ireland, now County Laois, where his dad was a manager on a local estate. He and his two brothers were sent to board in Kilkenny College. These were, of course, the famine years, or just shortly after the famine years. Many thousands had left Ireland, and one of his brothers went off to India to join the police. And in time, Wellesley himself sailed out to visit him, and he himself planned to join the police in India, which of course was then part of the British Empire. But when Wellesley arrived, he found that his brother had been moved to another area. Wellesley started to learn Hindi and started to teach in an American Presbyterian mission. And at weekends, the leader of that mission, Dr. Morrison, would travel to outlying villages and hamlets where outcasts lived. He described them as beggars who had leprosy. Not lepers. Well, lepers in those days. Now it's very non-PC to call them lepers. And one day, Wellesley was invited to accompany Dr. Morrison, and Wellesley was shocked by what he saw. What he saw in the huts, some with clawed hands, others blind, and others with disfigured faces. And later, Wellesley was to write this, and it's become a very famous writing in leprosy mission circles. I almost shuddered, yet at the same time I was fascinated. And I felt if there was ever a Christ-like work in the world, it was to go amongst those sufferers and bring them the consolation of the gospel. If ever there was a Christ-like work in the world, it was to go amongst those sufferers and bring them the consolation of the gospel. And that, in effect, was the seed that started what we have today as the leprosy mission. Started in Dublin in 1874. Wellesley died in 1937, having given 50 years of his life helping leprosy sufferers. And then, and since, much expertise has gone into finding a cure for leprosy. But Wellesley never lived to see that. But about 50 years ago, multidrug therapy became effective. And today, leprosy is totally physically curable. I emphasize the word physically curable. And while the TB BCG vaccine is used in some very limited ways, it's not very effective. And the search still goes on today for an effective vaccine for leprosy. But why? Why, oh why, are there still thousands of sufferers of leprosy throughout the world today, with one new case every 2 hours and 10% of those new cases children? Mainly in India, where half all new cases are discovered, Indonesia, Brazil, but in other countries, about 200 every year in the United States of America, and about 3 million people living with leprosy-related disabilities today. Why? It comes down to the first point that I want to share with you as we meditate on this story that we've read in, that Heather read for us in Mark 1. Jesus healing the leprosy sufferer who came on his knees begging for healing. Stigma. Stigma. The stigma of leprosy has been with us since the days of Jesus' earthly life and away beyond that. Leprosy sufferers are usually known only by their condition. They're rejected, hidden away. Having leprosy has implications for marriage, for employment, for healthcare. Some countries have laws that discriminate against leprosy victims. And when someone notices that lighter patch in their arm or their leg, because unfortunately, leprosy happens among those who don't have the same color of skin as most of us here in this land. When someone notices the lighter coloring in their arm or leg where the leprosy bacillus has caused a lack of feeling, they hide away or are hidden away rather than come for treatment. And such is the stigma in many regions. And this man in Mark chapter 1 was breaking all the social and religious conventions of his day. And you can read about that in Leviticus and read up on that. He was not allowed to come near Jesus, but he probably had heard that Jesus deals with people who are stigmatized and outcast. And the Bible is full of examples of Jesus reaching out to those who were stigmatized and rejected. The woman at the well, no doubt shunned by her neighbors as she had many husbands, and the one she was living with at the moment wasn't her husband's, and so she has to go to get water in the heat of the day rather than the cool of the morning when the other woman would have been gathering. Samaritans were rejected by the church of that day. But in one of the most famous stories that Jesus told, it was the Samaritan man who was neighbor to the victim of robbers. The stigmatized was the neighbor to the one, to the victim. Matthew carried the stigma of being a taxman for the occupying Romans. But Jesus broke down all cultural and religious barriers and brought Matthew in. And if you like, destigmatized him, if there's such a word. And Zacchaeus, yeah, he wanted to see Jesus. He was small in stature, he was. And we often think that's why he climbed the tree, and it probably was the main reason. But he was similarly stigmatized like Matthew, hid himself away in a tree. And in the last couple of weeks, maybe even longer, we've heard much about young girls being stigmatized here in this country because they became pregnant outside of marriage. And that stigma perpetuated by the state and by the church organizations. What a challenge to us today. And the challenge for you and me immediately this week is, I'm sure that you can think of one person who is stigmatized in maybe the people that you know. And maybe stigmatized still even in these so-called enlightened days that we have this week. How will you be Jesus to them as you invite them into your circle? Stigma. But secondly, I want to talk about salvation. Because this man found healing in Jesus, through Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was filled with compassion. His whole self went out to him. And Jesus touched him. Verse 41. His whole heart went out to him and Jesus touched him. When the late Princess Diana was patron of the England and Wales Council of the Leprosy Mission, one of the things that carried that mission forward in dealing with stigma was Princess Diana touching leprosy victims, touching them. Mark uses a word that the man was cleansed. In other healing stories, the word used has the same root as that of salvation, the same word, which also means to make whole or to heal. The woman with the issue of blood, for example, in Luke 8, some translations is rendered, "Go in peace, your faith has saved you, healed you, made you whole." And later on in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 6 and verse 56, it says, "As many as touched him were saved, were healed, were made whole." Only eternity will tell the myriads who have been healed, both physically and spiritually, through the Christ-like work of reaching out to the leprosy rejects. And that same power that works through medical expertise is also working in people's minds and hearts to bring them into the kingdom and to trust in Jesus for salvation. And thirdly, I want to speak about security. Today, the leprosy mission provides not only medical expertise to heal through drugs and care, but very much of its work is taken up today and has been for the last few decades with various types of reconstructive surgery. While leprosy is physically curable, as I've already said, disabilities remain and stigma lingers. So we need to aim for that wholeness of healing, body, mind, and spirit. Dr. Paul Brand was one of our most well-known surgeons. I had the great privilege of meeting him and his wife when I represented the Northern Ireland Council at an International General Council meeting in India quite a number of years ago. Dr. Brand's now dead. England and Wales would say he was poached by the American Leprosy Mission because he spent quite a long time there. But Philip Yancey has written books with Dr. Brand. Fearfully and Wonderfully Made is one of the titles, and the other is The Gift of Pain. Dr. Brand developed surgical skills to give patients back the use of the thumb and the finger, the pincer movement, because as feeling is taken away from the tips of the fingers, then they get damaged, and so often people end up with clawed hands. And so Dr. Brand gave them that pincer movement in many cases. And the Leprosy Mission seeks to help people get back into employment, thus providing some sort of security in life. Now, what has that then to do with Mark chapter 1? Well, let me put it to you this way. Here in Mark chapter 1, as well as bringing this man healing and wholeness, and we trust salvation, Jesus in his wisdom sought to give him back earthly security by instructing him to adhere to the law of the day and get clearance from the authorities so that he might be able to go out freely and mingle with people and presumably work again. I hope he did. But Mark just tells us that he couldn't wait to tell people the great news about what Jesus had done for him. But Jesus didn't want attention drawn to himself so that he could continue to teach people about God's plan for them, the kingly rule of God in their lives. There were some who would have diverted Jesus from this mission and set him up as the new King David. But this man went out spreading the news about Jesus and his healing touch. And now today, you and I will go out into a new week. Yes, still in lockdown, but able to meet people, I hope, by telephone or the various video media. What will you tell about what Jesus has done and is doing for you? Writing the last few lines of the letter to the churches in Galatia, in his own hand, he says, Galatians 6:17, Paul says, "From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body," and the word he uses here is the stigmata of Jesus. I bear the stigma of Jesus. Paul had suffered much for standing up against the legalists and those who specialized in stigmatizing people if they weren't of their group. And as he contended, it was by grace only that one can be made whole or saved. Slaves were often branded to show who owned them, the mark, the stigma of the master was what was put onto them. So that's the challenge that you and I have as we go out this week and think again about this story. Challenge yourself as you meditate further on this story about the marks of the master in your life, that others may see whose you are and whom you serve for his glory. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word. We thank you that your word feeds us and challenges us. And we pray that you will continue to teach us as you work in our lives by your Holy Spirit. And all for your glory. Amen.